Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to begin by reading verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for another opportunity to look into it this morning. I pray you'd guide us and direct us through the working of your Holy Spirit and challenge us in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A man named Studdard Kennedy was a military chaplain during World War II. And like all people who experience the front lines of combat, military chaplains have an extremely dangerous job. Now, I've heard of some pastors who, you know, come out of church on Sunday morning, feel like they've been in combat. But chaplains are the only ones I know who actually get shot at with live ammunition. And they can't shoot back because, according to the Geneva Convention, chaplains must be unarmed. But during World War II, Studdard Kennedy was enduring a particularly rough and violent campaign ministering to the frontline troops across France. And he sat down and wrote a letter to his 10-year-old son. And I want to read to you a small portion of that letter. It said, "The first prayer I want my son to learn to say for me is not, God keep Daddy safe, but God make Daddy brave. And if Daddy has hard things to do, make him strong to do them. Son, life and death don't matter, but right and wrong do. Daddy dead is Daddy still. But Daddy dishonored before God is something too awful for words. I suppose you would like to put in a bit about safety too, and Mother would like that, I'm sure. Well, put it in afterwards, because it really doesn't matter nearly as much as doing what is right." You see, Studdard Kennedy wanted his son to learn what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showed us over 26 centuries ago. Now, we know the story well. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were strangers in a strange land. And along with Daniel, they were taken captive and exiled when Babylon conquered Jerusalem around 600 years before Jesus was born. And they now lived in the pagan country of Babylon. But their heart was in Jerusalem. They knew God's law, they loved God, and they purposed in their heart to serve him no matter what the people around them were doing. Like Studdard Kennedy, they believed that right and wrong mattered. The sinful world around them demanded that they bow their knee and worship the gods of their era. But they refused. They knew that first commandment. No bowing before any idols or images. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Christians today live in a land that is not their home. As the old hymn says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, the Bible says that we are strangers and pilgrims down here. A stranger is someone who is not at home, but a pilgrim is someone who's headed there. And that's us. As Christians today, we live in a land that is not our home. And the world demands that we bow our knee and worship the gods of this era. But by recognizing God's ability and God's authority, and by determining to obey Him, Christians today can refuse the sinful demands of a bowing world and stand when the whole world bows. Now, a little later, we will look at the two legs that the three Hebrew children were able to stand on. But first, let's look at the world which was bowing around them. And I want you to first notice that the bowing world accused the Hebrew children. So let's back up a little bit in this passage and begin at verse 8 and read through verse 12. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So let's set the scene. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Babylon had conquered Jerusalem several times, and each time they did, they would carry the best and brightest off with them to serve the king. They would send them through some intense training and provide them with an excellent education. And as they were going through this training, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had impressed their captors so much that they gave them positions of authority within the kingdom. Now, of course, it helped that their friend Daniel interpreted a dream for the king that nobody else could interpret. And so things were going pretty well for them. They had gone from slaves to governors in just a few years. But just like anyone who lives captive in a land that's not their home, they ran into a problem. The king set up a golden image of himself. Then he declared National Worship My Image Day throughout the kingdom. And of course, being good, God-fearing Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to that idol. And isn't it interesting how anytime God's people do something different than the crowd, someone is always there to accuse them? That's what happened to them. Look again there at verse 8. It says, wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now, the Chaldeans were Babylonians. Chaldea was the southern half of the country of Babylon. So these were men who lived in the southern part of Babylon, which, by the way, is the modern day country of Iraq. But they lived in the southern part. That's where the Chaldeans lived. And the Chaldeans that brought the accusation were probably jealous of the fact that the three Hebrew children had government positions that they wanted. They were looking for anything they could find to bring them down and destroy them. Now, in the world today, we as Christians are living again in a land that is not our home. And God has blessed us with positions of favor and authority by giving us jobs and homes and classrooms and friends and family. But still, this is not our home. And just because we may be comfortable in our Babylon doesn't mean that Satan, the temporary prince of this world, isn't trying to make us bow. You see, verse 8 says the Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. That word accused is translated from an Aramaic word that literally means to eat the flesh of or to chew someone up. The Chaldeans were attempting to chew the Hebrew children up and spit them out. And isn't that the same thing Satan tries to do with us? You know, the Bible does tell us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Devour. He is out to devour us. Now, how does he try to devour us? Well, one way is by constantly feeding our lusts with immoral temptations and then telling us how weak we are and how we just can't help ourselves. Another way is by puffing up our pride and then telling us it's okay to be selfish because we deserve it or we have earned the right. Another way is by playing on our laziness and making us complacent and indifferent to the sin around us. And another way is by sowing seeds of petty discord among us so that we battle against one another rather than battle against him. So look out. Look out. Because Satan is using the bowing Chaldeans of the world to accuse you and chew you up. So be sober. Be vigilant. But not only did the bowing world accuse them, the bowing world confronted the Hebrew children. Look at now at verses 13 through 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have set up, well, that is, it'll be well with you. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar was furious when he confronted them. He basically told those Hebrew children, I'm going to give you one more chance. And if you don't bow like everybody else, I'm going to make you die the most painful death you can imagine. And then he mocked them. Did you notice that at the end of verse 15? And what is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, does our world today confront Christians? Ask the Christians in China, who are thrown in jail and in prison for going to church. Ask the Christians in Iran who are publicly stoned every week on nationwide TV simply for professing faith in Christ. Ask the Christians in the Sudan who are burned or buried alive or nailed to boards in mock crucifixions. Now you might say, well, Pastor, those places are a long way from here. Does our world here confront Christians? Yes. Every time you are mocked for your beliefs by your friends or coworkers, every time you're kept from professing your faith at work or at school, every time you're told that your God doesn't exist and isn't able to deliver you, you are being confronted. And when you look at it that way, things haven't changed much since the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The bowing world around us is still in the business of accusing God's people and confronting God's people. So if the bowing world hasn't changed that much, maybe we can learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's example. What did they do when the Chaldeans accused them? What did they do when Nebuchadnezzar confronted them? What did they do when the whole world around them bowed? The answer is, they stood. They stood. As everyone around them bowed their knees, each of the Hebrew children stood on his own two legs. And as we'll see in a moment, they also stood on two spiritual legs. And so the question before us this morning is, what are these two spiritual legs that we must stand on to keep from bowing from the temptations and the allurements of this wicked world? Well, the first leg is the leg of recognition. The leg of recognition. Look at verses 16 and 17 again. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, or that is, we're not worried about answering thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. After Nebuchadnezzar mocked God, they looked him right in his eyes and told him, we're not afraid of you. Our God is able to deliver us from anything you can possibly do to us. If you can dish it out, our God can take it. The Hebrew children recognized the fact that they served a God that was bigger than Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. And the good news is we serve the same God. We serve the same God. A God that is bigger than any problem you can possibly have. I mean, if Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, don't you think he can handle your physical problems? If he fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes, don't you think he can handle your financial problems? If he spoke the world into existence from absolutely nothing, don't you think he can handle absolutely anything that can come your way? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from anything and everything. And recognizing that our God is able to deliver us from anything is one leg we can stand on. That's the leg of recognition. Recognizing that our God is able to deliver us from anything that comes along. But in order to stand when the whole world bows, we need to stand on two legs. Two legs. So what's that second spiritual leg? That second spiritual leg is the leg of determination. The leg of determination. Look at verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. But if not. You talk about some powerful words. They knew that God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace, but he didn't have to. And if he chose not to, he would still be God. He would still be able. He would still be in control. He would still be on the throne. And if he chose not to, their faith would not have been shaken one little bit. And so when God chose, whether God chose to deliver them or not, they were going to do the right thing and trust him anyway. And you know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. We don't always have the answers to why bad things happen to us. We don't have answers for cancer and sickness and pain and heartbreak. But what we do know is that our God is able to deliver us from those things. But real faith comes into play when we can say with the Hebrew children, but if not. Real faith is exhibited when we can say, God, I know you can deliver me from this, but if not, I'm determined to serve you anyway. And I'm determined to obey you, and I'm determined not to bow before the idols of this age, no matter what the world throws at me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to stand when the whole world around them bowed. They were able to stand in spite of the accusations being thrown at them from the Chaldeans. They were able to stand in spite of their furious confrontation with Nebuchadnezzar. They were able to stand because they knew God was able to deliver them. And they were able to stand because they were determined to obey him even if he did not deliver them. Now, I want you to turn as we close to Ephesians chapter 6, where you and I, as New Testament believers, are encouraged to do the same. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. And so, what about you this morning? Are you willing to stand when the whole world bows? You know, if you're a Christian, then according to Romans 8:28, you can have confidence that God will work out whatever circumstance you're going through for your good, because you are the called according to his purpose. And you can have confidence in that. And you claim that confidence by standing for what the Bible says and by standing for what you know to be right. And you claim it by making a fresh commitment to obey him no matter what the world thinks, no matter how unpopular it might be. And have no doubt about it. True obedience to God and to His word will always be unpopular. It will always be unpopular. And so you need to determine before God today that you will serve Him no matter what circumstances you might find yourself in. Now, let me close with this. If you're lost today, never having trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are like all those who bowed to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. In this passage, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the only ones who were truly free. Everybody else was in bondage. Every time the music sounded, they had no choice but to bow. Why? Because they didn't know anyone powerful enough to deliver them. But the Hebrew children did. The Hebrew children did. And if you're lost today, you have no power to deliver yourself from your sin. You have no power of yourself to deliver yourself from the consequences and penalty of your sin. And you have no power of your own to deliver you from the stronghold that the world and Satan have on your life. Why? Because you don't know the one who can deliver you. But I can tell you this, He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him in a personal way. He wants to release you from the bondage of your sin and give you eternal life and a home in heaven and the ability to stand for what is right. And you can know Him today. All you have to do is ask. In Romans 10:13, we read, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All you have to do is call out to Christ and ask Him for forgiveness and eternal life. Call out to Christ and let Him know that you are trusting Him and Him alone as your Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God today and the challenge that we've seen from the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.